Warrior football. True Warrior football. True Warrior football.
You are listening to True Warrior Football Podcast with your host, Corey Kid Smith.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back for another great episode of True Warrior Football Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Kid Smith, and with me today, I have this gentleman back here. He was busy, had to take off on me and do a couple things, but I had to bring him back in here for a full-fledged interview this week, fresh off a great season with the San Antonio Commanders and the Alliance of American Football. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program, Warrior legend Nick Temple. Nick, thank you for making time in your schedule, man, to fit me in. I really appreciate that.
No problem, kid. You know, it's all love always.
Always, man. So let's get here. Let's talk to me about your experience with that league and everything. We can talk about your experiences with Cincinnati after that. But I really want to talk about what just happened in this last 2 weeks, man. This is just so crazy. I didn't expect to be sitting down talking with you this soon, to be honest with you, man.
Me either. Definitely a shocker. But the experience, as far as, you know, the beginning of the AAF, it was a great experience. As far as it was the most fun I ever had since playing high school.
Mm-hmm.
Far as, you know, playing pro and, you know, all the stuff that you go through, it's always so much that an outsider sees looking in and doesn't know what's really going on, far as on the professional sports, the world.
Yeah.
The business side, I should say. You see the, you know, us having fun, running around, hitting each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, you know, the people see from looking outside in. It's more too. It's more business. So when I was out there in AAF, that all went out to the window. Far as, you know, me having fun and just actually going out there and play and enjoying myself. So it was a good experience.
Well, I'm glad you were able to get that experience because this is, like I said on the show, this is a stepping stone for you to really showcase your talents.
For sure.
And be able to, you know, the goal ultimately is to be on one of the NFL teams in the near future.
Yes.
And this was a great opportunity because you played, was it one season or two seasons in the CFL?
I played three seasons.
Okay.
Three seasons, one with Montreal and two with Winnipeg.
Okay. So tell me how the CFL teams that you played for and the San Antonio, how were they different and how was San Antonio better or worse than your experiences from what you just dealt with?
Far as with San Antonio, it was more like, you know, guys coming together and all been through the same thing.
Okay.
Wanted that another shot, that second chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you get players like that, you know, their egos go out the window and it's not about money and things of that sort. You really come out there and become a family and get to
yes.
know each other. So us getting to know each other and, you know, playing for each other, that comes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, me knowing the head coach and knowing the GM and, you know, I'll do anything for them. As to this day, I told them that already. If there's anything, you know, I can do for them, just let me know. I'm just a call away. Because, you know, they gave me a shot, and I'm never going to forget that. They actually gave me a shot.
Who was your GM? Because I know Mike Riley was your head coach, but yeah. I can't remember who's your GM.
Darryl Johnson.
Darryl Johnson, Moose. Yes, Moose Johnson.
Moose.
He used to play for the Cowboys, former fullback, for those that don't know. Yeah, I know he was
three Super Bowl champ, let me say that. Well, three-time Super Bowl
hey,
champ.
Hey, he's part of that great run right there. The AAF, they had a lot of great people in places. I just, like, from the start, I did not know, and I remember talking to you, I think I was talking to you before the show started. You were telling me how you and Adrian were training for the camps leading up, or training for the draft, I think it was,
yeah.
wasn't it?
So, basically how it was, like, we had to do the combine,
because, mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't get that exposure, no one really knew about it. He was out for two, I was out for one, so really, you know, we had to go to those combines and get ready for them. And we went to the one in Atlanta.
Okay. And was it similar to what we see, the combine that's held here for the NFL draft? Is it similar to that, or was it a little bit different, like a college pro day for you?
No, it was kind of both in a way. GMs, all the GMs were there. So, you know, they saw us, you know, in person, mm-hmm. you know, live action, moving around and things of that sort. It was more hands-on, I would say, far as, you know, they can talk to us if they wanted to talk to us. They can sign us right there if they wanted. They can,
really?
Yeah, it was real good.
Okay. Now, from there, after the combine and stuff, how long was it before you found out which team was going to pick you or you were going to sign to?
It was kind of up in the air. I talked to all the GMs there.
Okay.
So it was like Memphis had my rights, though.
Okay.
From the previous professional sport team was Winnipeg, and I got allocated to Memphis.
Okay.
So I was really talking to them at first.
But that would
have been Mike Singletary. That was, so I was talking to them at first, and then all of a sudden, my agent gave me a call. He was like, well, before he gave me a call, at the combine, I had ran into Moose.
Mm-hmm.
And Moose was saying, you know, who was the last professional team I had? And I told him Winnipeg, and I wasn't allocated to him. So he really couldn't do nothing at that time. So eventually we started talking. He, you know, we weren't even talking about football. We was just talking about, you know, each other, just getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me to keep in contact with him. So I never got his number, but, you know, sure enough, I hit my agent up, and, you know, he got in contact with Moose. And then Moose was saying he really wanted me. So then he found out a way. Him and my agent found out a way to trade me from Memphis to San Antonio.
Wow.
Memphis wanted another old lineman from San Antonio, and Moose wanted me.
Me.
So it was like, hey, give me Nick Temple, and I'll give you this old lineman.
That's really incredible. And now when you go there, I was very happy to see you there with former Warren Central legend Andrew McDonald as well. What was it like for you two guys to be on a team together? Because you guys, your playing careers here didn't lap. He was a senior, I think, long before you came here. I think maybe 2 years ahead of you, I should say. And more than 2 years, but basically you guys were never teammates. What was your experience with him like that? Because had you ever met him before then?
I heard of Uncle Drew. I call him Uncle Drew.
Okay.
I heard of Uncle Drew before. It was just, you know, it was weird because he said his name. Like, I had met him before he said his name. I was like, he said he was from Indy. I was like, what high school did you go to? And he was like, Warren. I looked at him. See, with the Warren. I said, I did too. So after that, it was like, sweet, had to say no more.
Really?
It was like, we family now.
Absolutely, man.
So after that, man, he just took me under his wing and, you know, told me how to handle this professional stuff.
Yes, because he definitely had the professional background behind him.
He's been on a lot of NFL teams, mm-hmm. and, you know, he knows the ins and outs and what I should do and how I should take things. So he took me on his wing and, you know, told me how to handle things and all that sort of stuff. And Andrew's a good guy, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. I look forward to being able to talk to him. He's quiet from what I remember, but but when he gets on that field, he's a beast.
Different animal. Different animal. It's just like that nice thing got out the way. I was mm-hmm. like, Andrew's nice. And still from back in the AAF, you know, how old is he? I think he's like 33 now.
Yeah, I don't think he's that old. I think he's about the same age I am. I'm about to be 31. So maybe he's 30.
You still old, but still. Well, he can move is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, that he definitely can. Also, I want to say I was very impressed with how you led this defense for your Commanders, man. I was shocked. Not saying I didn't think you could do it, but mm-hmm. I was thinking leading up, I did not know how much of a key contributor you were going to be. And when I saw that opening coin toss, I'm like, oh, my God, Nick Temple's out there with the captains, the starters, and everything like that. This guy is literally the leader on the defense side, mm-hmm. man. How did that, when did they tell you that you were going to be a captain and a starter before the game?
It was like maybe 30 minutes.
Really?
I mean, he knew, but he didn't want to tell, you know, Coach Riley wasn't that type of person, like, far as, you know, the exposure. He wanted to do everything quietly.
Okay.
Things of that sort. Just that way, you know, when it's time, I'm going to let you know. But when it's time to work, we're going to work.
Gotcha.
So I knew 30 minutes before. He always, you know, asked me to do things far as for the team and that sort. But, you know, me, I'm not quiet type and lead by example. But he got it out of me far as, you know, to be a vocal leader out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when he said that, man, I told myself before I even got to this AF thing, if I was going to play football again, I promised myself that I'm going to be all in. Because at the end of the day, this AF thing, or AAF, was a second chance for me. So I didn't want to, you know, come back home and be like, oh, man, I should have did this. I should have done that. Now I want to be all in at that moment, and that way I can get another opportunity.
Well, you've always been, and really I should not have been surprised to see you being such a big-time leader from the start, because, once again, you were a great leader for us here during your time. Helped bring another state championship in 2009. And then when you were at Cincinnati, your junior and senior years, you were basically the face of the defense, man.
Yeah.
And so for you to be out there this year for San Antonio and doing the things you did, like, you were out there that's hitting hard that first game, man.
Yeah.
Making tackles all in the backfield. I know I posted a couple videos of your gameplay. And then that second game, you guys were fighting from a deficit, man. And you rushed down there and got that forced that turnover on that punt return, man. Walk me through that. Do you remember that play and how it all worked out for you there?
I think we was in San Antonio. I think we were playing the Fleet, San Antonio Fleet.
San Diego Fleet.
San Diego Fleet, yeah. Yeah, man, it was just I was on punt, you know. Special teams is all about, you know, running down.
Absolutely.
You know, special people play special teams.
Mm-hmm.
I was just doing my job, man, going down there, and all of a sudden just running and trying to make the tackle. And I just see the guy muff the punt, and I see the ball on the ground. So I just, you know, Coach Stussy, this is how you recover football. You don't recover like this. So I knew how I recovered the fumble. He was yelling at the screen at that moment. So I was like, dang. But I got the ball, so that's all that matters.
I was definitely yelling and screaming and very happy for you, because you gave your team an opportunity. I think you guys were down almost two scores, and that was like the offense needed a little jolt. And you guys were, I mean, if you're going to fight back in the game, there's got to be plays where you're actually out there fighting for that ball, man.
Yeah, so we needed momentum.
We was
away game at their house. We needed more momentum, and I tried to give them that.
And even though you guys ended up coming short in that game, you guys just came off of, before this last game, you guys were one of the hotter teams in the league. I think you guys in Orlando were the two best teams on respective sides of your division. You guys were like 4-1 in your last five games, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was really thinking you guys had an opportunity to really make something happen.
Oh, for sure. When defense was growing from since the first game.
Yeah, and you guys had a couple guys have a whole bunch of pick sixes and stuff like that.
That was just the beginning, man. We was just getting together. I feel like if we would have finished this season as far as the league and going to the playoffs and things like that, I think everybody on that defense would have been signed to a contract.
And then, oh boy, that had in the first game, all right, he hit the quarterback, and the quarterback's helmet popped off.
Big Wash right there. That's Sean Washington right there. He went to Texas A&M.
Man, that dude right there, like, were you on the field when that play happened, or were you rotating?
I was on the field, and I turned around because I was in man coverage. I turned around because the dude, he just stopped running his route, and I turned around. I just see Big Wash just lay dude out, like,
clean
helmet,
out.
Helmet flew opposite. Dude didn't get up. I was like, dang, stretch about to come out.
Man, he could. Man, he was one of those, like, oh my god. Like, I'm surprised he really got up from that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I didn't think he was getting up.
That was the biggest hit. I think there were some other big hits, but that was the biggest hit I personally saw.
Now that's the hit of the year.
Yeah,
that was the hit of the year. I feel like from any league or any NFL.
Well, the NFL, you can't hit like that no more, man. They don't like to play football.
It was a clean hit, though.
Yeah, it was a clean hit. I mean, I don't know what more you want him to do.
It was a clean hit, like no helmet to helmet. Like he literally blew that boy up.
All right, so. We are winding down. I just want to say, Nick, the last week here, run me through what happened for you guys after your last game. Were you guys preparing for Memphis, mm-hmm. the Express? You guys were actually getting ready to go to practice when the news broke for you?
Yeah, so we had meetings, everything, like it was a normal day. We're going to I think we're going to team as far as the team period at practice. And all of a sudden, our GM comes to the field and picks up the ball, and I'm on the sideline because it was time we were swapping out.
Okay.
But I'm on the sideline like, what's going on? Practice ain't even over with yet. And he was like, practice over. I'm like, for what? Like we got Memphis this week. Like we gotta win this game. What are we doing here? And then all of a sudden he told everybody, league's done with. And I was like, done with? What you mean? He was like, it's done. Like, everybody's done.
Wow.
And so it was like everybody looking at each other like, some people had a little, you know, knew already, but it didn't hit no news yet, like far as mm-hmm. like players agents was hitting them up.
Okay.
Saying like this might happen. And I'm thinking to myself, they ain't gonna happen, bro. They ain't even hit ESPN. I'm like, ain't nothing gonna happen. I was like, we need to go to practice. Everybody chill out. We need to go to practice. We got Memphis. We need to win this game.
Well, my thing is it's so crazy how it ends right in the middle of the season, and like the owner that apparently pulled out the money, or like I don't know if it was $70 million or $200 something million he had invested. I don't know the numbers. I just feel like it's crazy. Like no billionaire out there that saw what great potential this league had didn't jump in and try to save you guys' league, because I truly feel like you guys were building towards something special. And I talked about this on the show. Like, this could have been something where years down the line, it could be a feeder program for the NFL.
Yeah.
And just get guys, you know, because though so many players don't like the CFL, or they have bad experiences in the CFL. And then there's not really anywhere else you can go and play in a arena league or semi-pro leagues and stuff like that. I think your former teammate, Deontay Buckley, is playing in a spring league team down in Evansville, I believe, right now. I'm going to reach out to him and talk to him about that here soon. But, you know, there's not a lot of options for guys after college if they, you know, don't get drafted or whatever, NFL doesn't work out for them. So you are still young. You're still under 30. You still have plenty of football left to play in you, obviously. I mean, you were one of the top five rated linebackers in the league this season.
Yeah.
And that was just through 8 games.
Yeah.
So imagine how great you could be getting more professional playing time under your belt.
For sure. For
like,
sure.
I just really hate this for you, man. Have you and your agent been in contact or with any other NFL teams yet?
Yeah, we've been talking.
Okay. Yeah. I know you don't want to blow things up too much, but I'm glad to hear somebody has reached out to you guys.
Yeah,
because I'm definitely rooting for you, man. Hopefully, I was trying to get down there for this past week's game, just in case Memphis and San Antonio to see you guys play against each other. But once that news broke and some other things shook out, I was like, oh man, I hate that. I'm not gonna be able to make it down there, man.
Me and A-Rod was talking about this the whole season before we even started. Like, we was trash talking the whole season.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure. I'm sure, man. What would you have done if he came your way with trying to catch a pass, man?
Man, you already know what's going on.
Defense, baby. That's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. No fear over here, man.
None at all.
No fear over here. Well, hey, Nick, I appreciate you. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. I know you're going to work hard and continue to put yourself in a great position to succeed either in football or outside of football, man. I appreciate that. Keep listening to the show and doing everything you're doing.
Definitely. Appreciate it, kid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Temple.
This is David Bell, Indiana Gatorade Player of the Year, True Warrior Football Warrior Legend Award winner, only player to win state in football and basketball here at Warren Central, and you are listening to the True Warrior Football Podcast.
And we're back. And what a great interview Nick and I had. Thank you, Nick. I always appreciate talking to you. You know, you were a great player during your time here. I was very proud to see you have success that you had at Cincinnati. I'll never forget coming to your last game. I believe it was against Houston. It was against Houston and giving you your old football jersey. That was a great moment, and, you know, I'm glad to see you continue to do great things, and I just wanted to say you're always going to be one of my favorites, and you're always going to have support from me and the people back here at the program. You know, we always support our own, so continue to do well, man. I'll hopefully one of these teams in the NFL comes along your way, or maybe one of these other startup leagues, or maybe perhaps in the near future, maybe San Antonio can – get things back going at the AAF, can get things back going and have you back on there. So best luck to you and your future, my friend. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, there's some quick notes I want to hit. We had a couple of guys sign letters of intent to go play at some colleges. So Dayron Way and Malik Miles, a lot of these guys, really all these guys are defensive guys. Those two guys, Dayron and Malik, they have decided to go and play football at Victor Valley College. It's a small college in California. So congratulations to those two guys. They're getting some fine individuals, some fine athletes right there. Great leaders as well. Rondell Boyd is going to be playing at Thomas More College. I believe we have one other guy there right now. I can't think of his name right now. We have so many guys in college. I really hate doing that. But I know we have one guy there. And Willie Gumpton is going to Rose Holman. So Willie was he's outstanding secondary player, but he was more of a scout team guy. He contributed in other ways, helped the team. And, you know, he has a smart head on him and a bright future ahead of him. Going to Rose Holman is an outstanding, outstanding institution. So congratulations to all of those guys. Love to see my defensive players go on and do some good things at the next level. So congratulations to you guys. And the last thing I want to say is, folks, Monday night, 7 p.m., we get our rings, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! I can't wait to see them. I know everybody's going to be waiting to shine, bling, bling, and everything. Woo! It's flossing season. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just listened to another great episode of True Warrior Football Podcast. I'm your host, Corey the Kid Smith. Warrior Band, take us away.